Hey, early risers, how you guys doing? Welcome. Thank you for getting up early to worship with us. I want to welcome those of you that are online as well. Hey, if you happen to be a guest, either online or in person, let me introduce myself. My name is Brian Anderson. I'm one of the pastors here. First of all, before I get into the message, I want to congratulate those of you who are just water baptized. Way to go, way to go. So cool. You know, and if you're watching online, you're in the room, and you're a follower of Jesus, and yet for whatever reason, you have not been water baptized, that's an important next step for you to take. And so we're going to do this again in about 7 or 8 weeks, the middle of January. And what you need to do between now and then, you need to get on our website, vineyardnorthphoenix.com, take our water baptism class because it explains what the Bible actually teaches about water baptism, sign up to be water baptized the next time we have it in January, and then hopefully we'll be celebrating your water baptism in just a few weeks from now. Hey, if you have a Bible, where I want you to turn, I'm going to begin teaching out of Mark chapter 12. Mark chapter 12, if you have the app or the actual Bible, we're going to look at verses 29 to 31. Mark 12, 29 to 31. You know, I've been doing this series for quite some time now called Keys to a Successful Life. And we're going to finish that up today. And I'm going to talk about, in my opinion, the most important key to living a successful life. We're going to talk about the biblical value of love. If you want to be a successful person, especially in God's eyes, then love has to become your most important value. You know, one time Jesus was asked a values question. And remember, values are the things that are important to you. Whatever's important to you, that is your value. And Jesus was asked a very important values question one time. He was asked, hey, Jesus, what's the most important commandment? Now, when you and I think about commandments, we think about maybe the Ten Commandments in the Old Testament, but there were actually 613 commandments in the Old Testament. Hey, Jesus, out of all 613 commandments, which of those is the most important? What did Jesus say? It's in Mark 12. Jesus replied, the most important commandment is this. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is the one and only Lord. And you must love, underline the word love, love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength. The second is equally important, love, underline that again, your neighbor as yourself. See, this value of love, according to Jesus, is the most important value. And that's why I've saved it to the very last, because I believe it's the most important value as well. The Apostle Paul said it like this in 1 Corinthians 13, there are three things that will endure, faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love. See, that means that love is the value that God values the most. Now, even though that's true, all of us struggle with love. I mean, if we're just honest, we all struggle with love. So we're going to look very briefly this morning at what the Bible actually teaches us about love. So how do you build the type of love that lasts? Well, first of all, you have to ask what love is. Ask what love is. You say, why is that important? Because love is one of the single most misunderstood words in the entire English language. I mean, for example, I could say, I love my wife, Thora, and I love Thora's German chocolate cake that she only makes for me on my birthday, and I love football. Now, I hope that I would know which one of those I love the most, right? But there's no way to tell in the English language. That's one of the reasons why the word love is so easily misunderstood. Like this letter. Dearest Ben, no words could ever express the great unhappiness that I've felt since breaking our engagement. Please say that you'll take me back. No one could ever take your place in my heart, so please forgive me. I love you, I love you, I love you. Yours forever, Sally, and P.S., congratulations on winning the Powerball lottery. Yeah, that's true love, isn't it? You know, a lot of our misconceptions about love come about because of the media. You know, television shows, movies, songs, books, they don't really tell us the truth about what love actually is. I mean, you look at Hollywood, and Hollywood says that love goes all the way from sentimental, things like love means never having to say you're sorry, to sexual, to cynical. What's love got to do with it? It's all there. And love is oftentimes romanticized in the media as well. You know, some of you sitting here, some of you online, you grew up thinking that you're Snow White and one day you're going to marry Prince Charming. But what happens when you end up marrying Grumpy or Sleepy or Dopey instead? Some of you are saying, please tell me, Brian, because I did. I need some advice here. Well, what is real love? Let me give you two misconceptions about love that lots of people believe. You might believe these. A lot of people believe that love is just a feeling. It's an emotion. It's a quiver in my liver. It's an emotion, an ocean of emotion. No, that's only part of what love is. Yes, love does produce emotions at times, but love is much more than just a feeling. It's much deeper than just a feeling. A second misconception about love that a lot of people believe is that love is uncontrollable. Love is just uncontrollable. And a lot of words and phrases that we use go along with that thought. We say that when somebody's in love, you know, their head is spinning. They're weak in the knees. They're giddy with love. Or people say things like, well, you know, I just fell in love. Like you're just walking down the street. All of a sudden you trip, you fall into a ditch. You know, except if it's not a ditch, it's love. I just fell in love. I couldn't help it. It's uncontrollable. I just slipped and fell into love. Well, the problem with that kind of thinking is if you can fall in love, guess what? You can also fall what? Out of love just as easily. So what does God actually say about love? God says that love is a choice. Love is a choice. I want you to say that out loud. Love is a choice. One more time. Love is a choice. See, God says that love is controllable because it's a choice. In fact, we read a few minutes ago that Jesus commanded us. He commanded us to love other people. He said back in Mark 12, love your neighbor as yourself. Now, Jesus didn't command us to feel a certain way. You can't command a feeling. And that's not what Jesus was doing. He was commanding us to choose to do the right things toward our neighbor. He was commanding our action. He was saying, I want you to make the choice to love. The Apostle Paul said it like this in Colossians 3. He said, beyond all these things, put on love, underline that, which is the perfect bond of unity. It tells us, put on love. It's like when you get up in the morning and you make a choice about what you're going to wear. You make a choice. When you got up today, you made a choice about what you're going to put on. Some of you didn't make great choices, but that's another topic. What are you going to put on? You know, you didn't get up this morning and just stumble into your closet and come out fully dressed. No, you had to make a choice about what you're going to put on. And that's what Paul is saying here when it comes to love. He says you need to make the choice of putting on love. So you get up in the morning and you make a choice. I'm going to love people today. I'm going to put other people above myself today. That's putting on love. We need to do that every single day. I try to do that every time I come here to the Vineyard. God, help me to put on love. Help me to put other people above myself. Help me to treat other people the way that you want me to treat them. God says love is a choice. Another thing I want you to know about love is love has actions behind it. Actions. The Apostle John said, little children, let us not love with word or with tongue. He's saying talk is cheap, but let us love with deeds and in truth. Deeds and in truth. Now the Greeks, you know, the New Testament originally was written in Greek. So sometimes it's helpful to look at certain Greek words, but the Greeks actually had four different words that we translate love, because we only have one word in the English language for love. They had four different words. One of those Greek words that talked about love meant affection, affectionate love. A second Greek word meant sexual attraction. A third Greek word for love is friendship. And a fourth Greek word is unconditional actions of love toward other people. Now that last word is the word that's used here in 1 John 3. Little children, let us not love. That word love there is the Greek word agape. And it's also the word that God uses for the way that he loves us. He loves us with unconditional actions. Unconditional actions. That's the way God loves us. Look at agape. It means a commitment to act lovingly toward another person. That's why you and I can actually love someone but not like the things that they're doing. See, God's not commanding that you have warm affection in your heart for every person. No, he's commanding that you act in a loving way toward every person. So if you want to build the type of love that lasts, you have to first of all know what love is. Ask what love is. Secondly, then you need to act like love acts. And that's the tough part. You know, once I found out what love really is, then I need to start doing it in my life. Well, the good news is there's a simple list that God has given us in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. It's as if God knew that we were going to say, hey, God, how does this love thing work? I mean, what am I supposed to do? What am I supposed to not do? And so God gave us a list. God said in 1 Corinthians 13, here's what love does. Here's what love doesn't do. Here is a simple, practical list. So we're going to look at 1 Corinthians 13 for a minute. The first thing God says to do when we love, he says, be patient. Be patient. 1 Corinthians 13:4, love is patient. That's the very first word that God uses when it comes to love. So what God wants you to know is that love takes time. In fact, a lot of people have said that the way you spell love is T-I-M-E. Love takes time and patience with other people. You know, waiting is so much a part of our lives, isn't it? Waiting. And part of loving someone is waiting with them for the big things of life. That's part of love. But you know what? That's not the hardest part. The hardest part is not waiting with them. The hardest part is waiting for them. Waiting for them to change. Waiting for them to make the right choices that you know they need to make. Waiting for them to grow spiritually. That's the hard part, waiting for them. But you know what? God does that with us, doesn't he? He waits for us patiently. Here's how Paul says it in Ephesians 4. Be humble and gentle. Be patient with each other, making allowances for each other's faults because of your love. So what are some practical things that patient love toward another person would do or not do? Just give me a couple practical things. Well, for example, you know, you got up this morning, you got ready for church, and let's say that you got ready for church sooner than someone else in your family got ready for church. And so patient love would mean you would not go out and start the car and drive around the cul-de-sac multiple times, honking the horn for the person to get ready that you're waiting for. That's not patient love. Patient love is also like when you're helping one of your kids with their homework, and they're just not seeming to get it. Patient love does not say, okay, just let me do it for you. And then you do it for them. It'd be a lot easier, but that's not patient love. Patient love means you sit down and you let them work through those problems. You help them with it, but you don't do it for them. And there's no better example of patient love than God's love for us. I mean, when you think about it, he is so incredibly patient with us. I mean, think about it this way. God listens to every single one of your prayers. Every single word that you pray, God listens to it. And remember, he's God. So he already knows everything in advance. He already knows every single word that you're going to say before you ever say it. And yet, God doesn't say to you and I, would you just get to the punchline? I mean, would you just hurry this thing up? No, he listens to the entire prayer patiently and lovingly. And not only that, but God also waits for us, doesn't he? He waits for us to grow up. He waits for us to change. He waits for us to let go of some sin that's holding us back. God is patient. Second way love acts, love is kind. Love is patient. Second word, love is kind. Now, what is kindness? Kindness is caring for someone in the practical and small details of life. You know, kindness is doing things like washing the dishes and taking out the garbage even when it isn't your turn. That's kindness. Kindness is doing little things for another person that can really make a difference in their life. You know, my wife, Thora, she really is one of the most kind people that I've ever met. She really is. And she has done and continues to do so many kind things for me. But as I was thinking about this message, I was thinking about what's one of the kindest things, maybe the kindest thing that Thor has ever done for me. When we had our first baby, Zoe, she was born very premature. She was 2 pounds, 14 ounces at birth. If you've ever had a real preemie, I mean, she was in the NICU for 5 weeks. She was literally the size of a water bottle. If you have a water bottle with you, that's how big she was, 2 pounds, 14 ounces. So if you've ever had a preemie baby, by the time we took her home, she was a little over 4 pounds, but very, very little. And they don't eat very well, and so you have to feed them constantly around the clock, every 1 to 2 hours, and they don't take the food easily. And so one of the kindest things my wife would do is she would sometimes, not all the time, but she would sometimes take the midnight shift, because we were trading off every other shift. She would take the midnight feeding shift and the 2 a.m. feeding shift and the 4 a.m. feeding shift so I could get a little extra sleep. I mean, it was so kind. But the fact is, when you and I are kind toward other people, we have the power to change their life. We really do. There's power in kindness. That's why God says, love is kind. Third way love acts, Love isn't showy. And what I mean by that is you don't try to impress other people with the kind of love that you have for others. You don't do that. It's not showy. Look at the end of verse 4. Love is patient. Love is kind. It is not jealous. Love does not brag and is not arrogant. See, if I'm secure in the way that I love other people, I don't have to brag about it. I don't have to tell other people how well I love others if I'm secure. And security is really a big deal in relationships, isn't it? I mean, if you just add a little bit of insecurity into any relationship, that insecurity will begin to tear that relationship apart. That's one of the reasons why God is so clear in the Bible about how secure we are in His love. We're secure. That's part of why God says nothing can separate us, Romans 8, from His love. Nothing. Because God knows the value of security when it comes to love. So let me pause for a moment and ask you this. Is there anything that you're doing in any of your relationships that's adding some insecurity to that relationship? You know, maybe you've been hiding things from your spouse. That's going to cause insecurity. Maybe it's being inconsistent in the way that you discipline one of your kids. Maybe you've just been sort of aloof with your friends. Security is a big thing in relationships. You know, that's one of the reasons why it's so important for you and I to make sure that we tell the people that we love them on a regular basis. We need to say that out loud to the people that we love. And I know for certain people that's a really hard thing to do, but here's my advice to you. Get over it. You need to get over it because it's so important. Because when you tell somebody that you love them and you back it up with actions, man, that brings such security to that relationship. Fourth way love acts, Paul says, love isn't selfish. This verse sums it up. Verse 5, love does not act unbecomingly, does not seek its own, is not provoked, and does not take into account a wrong suffered. See, all those things are signs of selfishness. Acting unbecomingly, seeking its own, signs of selfishness. God does not want us to be selfish in our expression of love. And at the end of that verse, it says, love doesn't take into account a wrong suffered. Man, that's hard to do, isn't it? It's so easy to have that list kind of in the back of your mind about how this particular person has let you down in the past. Or how this particular person has wronged you in some way in the past. You have that list. You have that list of how they've hurt you sometime in the past. Paul says, love doesn't do that. Love doesn't have a list that you keep in your mind about how they've hurt you or how they've let you down. You let that go. You forgive. Love isn't selfish. Let me ask you, do you have a list on your spouse of how they let you down, how they've hurt you in the past? You need to forgive. You have a list on one of your friends? You need to forgive. Because love isn't selfish. Fifth way that love acts, love never quits. It never quits. Look at verse 7. Love never gives up, never loses faith, is always hopeful, and endures through every circumstance. You know that phrase, endures through every circumstance? In the Greek language, it actually has a word picture. And the word picture is one of two soldiers in medieval time, two soldiers on the same side of the battle, and they know that they're going to come into a very fierce battle in a moment. And they know that when the battle starts, they might get afraid and run away. And so what they would do is they would actually take a rope sometimes, and they would tie the rope between themselves with a lot of slack, obviously, so they could fight. But they would tie it to each other because that they were making a commitment to one another that we're not going to run away when the battle starts because we tied the rope. Maybe that's where we got the idea of tying the knot. I don't know. But that's the idea. Hey, I want you to know, I'm committed to you in this. I'm not going to run away. I'm in this for the long haul. That's genuine love. Now, I know some of you might look at this verse and think to yourself, well, how's that ever going to happen? I mean, it sounds good, but how in the world does love never give up, never lose faith? How is love always hopeful? How is love endure through every circumstance? I mean, Brian, where's the power to love other people like that? Well, you know, at the beginning of this message, I showed you Mark 12, 29 to 31, and in those verses, Jesus told us that there's two priorities of love. We've already talked about the second one, love your neighbor as yourself. But the first one, Jesus said, you have to love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. You know, our problem is oftentimes we try to do the second one, loving other people, before we do the first one. Really loving God with everything we have. Now you might say, well, Brian, how can I do that? How can I really love God? Well, first of all, by knowing that God loves you. No matter what. Some of you here, and you need to know that. Maybe you know it up here, but you don't know it in your heart. And the reason that you're here this morning, the reason you're online listening, is because God sent me here as his advocate to remind you how much you matter to him. Some of you need to hear that today. You matter to God. Doesn't matter what you've done. Doesn't matter how far you've wandered away. God loves you no matter what. You can never do anything to separate yourself from God's love for you. In fact, God showed us how much he loved each one of us by sending his only begotten son to die on a cross for all of our sins. And when you surrender your life to Jesus, and when you begin to love God like he wants you to, one of the things that happens is it begins to empower you to be able to love other people the way that God wants us to. What I'm saying is this, the power to love other people is found in God's love for you. But see, you have to make a choice. Remember, I told you earlier, the Bible says love is a choice. So you have to make a choice to either accept God's love for you or reject God's love for you. You say, well, Brian, how do I accept God's love for me? Well, the way you do it is by surrendering your entire life to Jesus Christ and asking Jesus Christ to come into your life and to forgive you for all the wrong things that you've ever done, and then to tell him that, Jesus, I want to begin to follow you and your way of life for the rest of my life here on this earth. And there are some of you watching online, there are some of you in this room, if the truth were told, you've never really done that. You've never fully surrendered every part of your life. Maybe you've thought about it. Maybe you've been around church. Maybe you grew up in the church. But you've never made a personal decision that you are going to surrender every part of your life, your time, your energy, your money, your sex life, your choices, your career. You're going to surrender all to him. And then you're going to begin to follow him from this day forward. See, if you've never done that, you're not ever going to be secure in his love. And you're not going to be able to love people the way that he wants you to. And so if you've never done that, I want to give you an opportunity to do that right now. Would you bow your head with me in prayer for a moment? Now you might be thinking, well, Brian, I want to surrender my life, every part of my life, to Jesus, but I'm not sure how to start. Well, you begin with a prayer of surrender. I'm going to pray a prayer. in just a moment. And if you want to surrender your life to Jesus fully, then you can pray this to him from your heart. You don't have to pray it out loud, but you do have to mean it. It has to be the real thing or it's not going to take. So if you want to do that, or maybe you need to rededicate your life to Jesus this morning, you can pray an adaptation of this prayer. But just right now in your heart to God, just say something like, God, I know I've done wrong things in my life. I know I've sinned. And God, I know that I need to be forgiven. And so, Jesus, would you come inside of my body right now? In the power of the Holy Spirit. And would you forgive me for all the wrong things that I've ever done? And I want to surrender my entire life to you, Jesus, right now. November 14th, 2021, I want to cross the line of faith. I want to surrender it all, my time, my energy, my money, my career, my family, my sex life, everything I want to give to you. I'm going all in. You know, if you prayed that and you really meant it, it happened. You may have felt something. You may not have felt something. That doesn't matter. It happened because the scriptures in the Bible say that it happened. And now Jesus wants you to begin to follow him. And that's one of the ways that the vineyard comes into play. We teach you every weekend how to better follow Jesus. And we all need that teaching every week. I need it. I mean, when I'm putting together a message, the message is, first of all, preach to me before to anyone else. We all need that every week. So, you know, if you prayed that prayer and maybe you're just a hit and miss, you know, church attender, or maybe you're just here for the first time, this needs to become a regular part of your lifestyle. It's not just if things work out, I'll go to church. No, man, this is a regular thing now because you need to be taught how to follow Jesus, and we're going to teach you. And then the other thing that Jesus tells people when they make a commitment of their life, like some of you have done today, to follow him, is Jesus says, now you need to go public about that fact. You can't just keep it private. You need to go public. That's part of what water baptism is that we saw earlier. Those people are going public saying, hey, I'm now a follower of Jesus. My old life has died. Now I have a new life. And in this new life, I'm following Jesus. You need to go public. You'll need to be water baptized in January. But whenever I give people an opportunity to surrender their life to Jesus like I did just now, I always challenge people to go public right now. Let's get it out of the way. Let's go public right now. So I'm going to do that in just a moment. If you prayed that prayer for the very first time, I'm going to ask you to do something really brave in a minute. I'm going to ask you to stand up. Get out of your seats and come down here to the front. I want to say a special prayer for you. Now, I know, if you prayed that prayer, now I'm talking about coming down to the front. It's kind of scary. It's like big room, lots of people. So let me try to alleviate a little bit of your fears. First of all, you might be thinking, what if I'm the only one? I don't think you will be. But even if you are, remember what I said earlier? You have to really mean this. It's not going to take unless you really mean it. So if you really meant it, and you really meant it to God, then it doesn't matter, does it? Who else knows? Why would it matter going public? And then secondly, in a moment when I ask people to come to the front, the vast majority of us who don't come to the front, the reason we don't is because we've already done something like this. We're already part of God's family, and we want you to be part of God's family. We're already on your side. We want God to add more people to his family. So you don't have to be afraid of us at all. So if you prayed that prayer for the very first time, you need to go public right now. I want you to stand up wherever you're seated. I want you to stand up, and I want you to walk down here to the front right now. Get up right now. Wherever you are, get up and walk down here to the front. Come on. Come on, God bless you. God bless you. Come on. You're saying, this is my day. I'm crossing the line of faith. God bless you guys. Come over here and just stay facing me. Come on, if you're up in the balcony, come on. Come on. Come on. I know there's more people that are making this decision today. Today's my day, November 14th. God bless you. Come on. Come on, right now. Come on. We don't want to miss anybody. Come on. God bless you guys. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. Keep coming. Keep coming. Keep coming. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. You're saying, Jesus, I'm all in. I'm all in. I'm giving everything to Jesus. God bless you. Come on. There's more coming. Come on. Come on. If you're up on the top, come on. Don't dilly-dally, but we'll wait for you. Come on. Come on. More people coming. More people. Come on. Come on. Now, maybe you're like, man, I really want to come to the front. I prayed that prayer, but God bless you guys, but I'm a little bit afraid. You know, if you're here with someone, you're here with a friend, a loved one, they're sitting next to you, just grab their hand right now and just say, hey, would you come up for moral support for me? Would you come up with me right now? If there's anybody right like that right now, would you just grab their hand and just say, hey, would you come with me right now? We want to wait just another second or two. Now, I see some more coming back there. Come on, just keep coming. But if you need moral support, just grab the hand of the person and just say, come on, come on, be my moral support. God bless you, God bless you. Keep coming, keep coming. Be my moral support. Now, you guys keep coming, all right? Keep coming as I'm talking. But I want some of our ministry team members, some of our small group leaders, God bless you guys. Keep coming. Small group leaders, would you guys come up here as well? First of all, I want every one of you to know, man, I am so proud of you. I am so proud of you. I know it's a challenging, it's a little scary and all that, but this is the most important decision you'll ever make in your life. You know why? Because this not only affects your life here on earth, but it's going to change your eternity. Your eternity is going to be changed. Now you're going to spend eternity with God in heaven, and you're not going to spend eternity apart from God. So this is the single most important decision you will ever make. And so I'm going to pray for you in a moment, and we're going to get some other people around you. And we're going to need a lot more ministry team members, small group leaders. We need more people around. Then we're going to get some people around you. They may pray for you. They may have a prophetic word for you. I don't know what God might do. He might give them a prophetic word for you. But then afterwards, what they're going to do is they're going to get some information from you, all right, so that we can follow up with you. And are we taking them to the information center? Is that what we're doing? To get the packing and all that? No, we don't do that. We have cards. Okay. So they'll have you fill out a card, or they'll fill out a card for you. But I'd like all of us here that are seated, would you please pray with me in agreement for our friends here at the altar? God, we are so, so grateful for every person that has said, I want to cross the line of faith today. November 14th, 2021, this is the day that I crossed the line of faith. And I said to Jesus, Jesus, I'm all in. I'm going to begin to follow you with all of my heart and all of my soul and all of my mind and all of my strength. I pray, oh God, that you would bring the people around them that they need to help grow them up in this new faith. God, help them begin to develop the habits that they need to help them to grow in their faith. And Holy Spirit, I pray right now that you would fall upon every single one of them, that you would fill them, and that you would begin to empower them to be the witnesses for you, Jesus, that you have created them to be. Thank you for the ministries and all of the actions that you've created them to be involved in to make a difference in other people's lives. We can't wait, oh God, to see the ways that you're going to begin to use every single one of them. Lord, bless them today. Bless them in their body. Bless them in their soul. Bless them in their spirit. And etch this day on the tablet of their heart for all of eternity. And I ask these things in Jesus' name. Now, those of you that are around them, if you have something to pray or you have a prophetic word or something, give that, pray for them, and then make sure you get the information from them. Now, for the rest of us here, by the way, if you're online and you prayed that prayer, you need to go public as well. And so you need to click the prayer button and you need to tell one of our team members online that you prayed that prayer. You need to go public that way as well. But if you are here and you would like to receive prayer for something else today, We always pray for people at the Vineyard. We'd love to pray for you, whatever your request is. So if you just want to come to the front after I dismiss the service in just a moment, we'd love to pray for you. It may take a couple of minutes for us to get to you, but we will get to you, okay? And if you'd like prayer online, just click the prayer button. Could everybody please stand? I want to pray a blessing over us before we go. Lord, thank you so much for your presence here in this service. Oh God, be with us in our next service. We pray that many would cross the line of faith in the next service as well. But Lord, I pray for all my friends as they go their separate ways, whether they're online or here in the room. I ask God that you would bless them, that you would keep them, that you would cause your face to shine upon them and you'd be gracious to them. Lift up your favor upon each one, oh God, and give them your peace. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. And everybody said, amen. Say hi to a bunch of people on your way out. God bless you. We'll see you soon.